Okay, last month we were talking about the Son of Man. And Jesus not only was Son of God, but he was Son of Man, and he represented man to God. Okay? And tonight we want to talk about the fact that Jesus came as a demonstration of man filled with God. He's going to actually demonstrate what man should be like. Okay? He's not just going to teach us. He's not just going to tell us about it. But he's actually going to demonstrate what man should be like on the earth, what God intended from the very beginning. And to kind of go back to how I got started on this, I was out on the deck. I've been trying to go out every day and just sit. I don't take my Bible to, you know, like I have so much stuff to read or, you know, devotions or anything like that. I just go out and just sit and acknowledge him. And I wait, and every morning he talks to me. And one day he said, in the end times, he said, my part, Jesus speaking, he said, I am coming to glorify the Father. And he said, I will glorify the Father through the church, through my people. And he said, this glorification will come through demonstration. He said, my people will demonstrate the glory of God, and the glory of God will cover the earth. For a long time now, he's been speaking to me about John 14, 15, 16, 17.
That may be wrong.
And so we've been covering that, studying different parts of it. And I think I mentioned last month that the what the Lord showed me was that there's a chronological order of 14, 15, 16, and 17. And so we're in 16, moving into 17, which will be... then there will be persecution, and there's going to be trouble. There's going to be disasters. One of the things that the Lord was showing me was these disasters are going to increase. But he said, don't be fearful of the disasters, because he said, in the disasters is where you're going to be able to demonstrate my love, my servanthood, my righteousness, that instead of running away from it, run into it. And of course, it's already happening. It's, you know, I know President Clinton and Bush, when they were given the assignment of raising money after Katrina hit New Orleans, that they were talking on a news program, and they said, no one can deny it is the church that's getting the work done. And even though the churches were told you can't talk about Jesus and you can't be talking scriptures, you just have to come down and help. And so they did that. And even though they didn't say a word, everyone recognized that it was God.
Yeah.
And so this demonstration, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. So in John 17, because it starts right off with Jesus saying, I'm here to glorify you, you've glorified me, now I'm going to glorify you. The people I'm praying for, they are not of the world, but they are in the world. Okay? Talking there about this separation, which we call sanctification and holiness. So there's going to be a holiness come to the body of Christ. There's going to be this sanctification. is going to come to the body of Christ. And then he said that his prayer is that we will be one as him and the Father are one. What a day. What a day. What a demonstration to a lost and dying world when they see us come together, where there's no longer Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians, Presbyterians and whatever all, you know, but that we be of one heart and one spirit in service, loving a lost and dying world. Okay? So that's where we're coming from. And of course, I won't be able to cover all these scriptures. So when you look at it, then,
what's going on in Joplin now?
Right now, they're in the massive cleanup. In other words, the big machinery is coming in.
But I'd say the Christians are the ones that are there, but
yes,
you don't get that through the news.
Yes.
You talk to any church group. Or
all of the church groups are coming in by busloads. And then they had one fella that he lost his job, but they put him in charge of all of the ministries that are coming in. And so his job is coordination. And so he's kind of like Joplin pastor that is pastoring, and all these people are coming in. And of course, the whole, there were so many demonstrations, but I think I mentioned one of them maybe last month, where the beauty parlor, the one's ladies' beauty parlor was destroyed. And the other competition, up to that time, said, "You bring all your people over here, and I'll give you room, and let's just work together." The hospitals did the same thing, and the churches are doing the same thing. It's like, if there's any buildings left standing, let's just go to them. We're able to see, this is not something we're talking about far off in the future. This is something that's happening right here and right now. And Jesus said, "I am doing it. And I'm doing it to glorify the Father, to make the Father known upon the earth." Okay? Luke 5:24, "But that you may know..." And the Greek word here is often the word oide. It means to know by seeing. See, we think of the other Greek word is gnosko, which is to know by revelation, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, or that you may know the love of God. See, that's all by revelation. This is a demonstration, so you can actually see what's going on, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." So here is a demonstration. What was he demonstrating? He wasn't demonstrating healing. He was demonstrating that Son of Man had power to forgive sins. See? And to prove it, see, he said, "Take up your bed and go." Which is easier to say? Your sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? See? And of course, we come into the same thing in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24. Which concludes, "By whose sins you are forgiven, by whose stripes you are healed." See, well, the entire chapter is about God forgives. See, and the proof of that is that the same God who heals, see, we kind of have it backward now, but the same God who is healing you, and of course there was healing going on all the time, so it was like the everyday thing was healing. And And the same God who heals is the same God who forgives. So that verse is actually a proof text of the forgiveness, because they got the healing, see, and but they couldn't get the forgiveness straight. Because now we've had so much preaching on forgiveness, we got that, and can get the healing straight, you know. But for them, healing was, I mean, Peter just walking down the street, and they'd lay people in his shadow, and they were healed. So, I mean, that's just every day. So to prove them, you know, it's like Peter saying, now the same God that healed you is the same God who forgives sins. Demonstration.
That's good.
See? Okay, Ezekiel 38:23, thus will I demonstrate my greatness and my holiness, and I will be recognized, understood, and known in the eyes of many nations. Yes, they shall know that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And so, through all of this, God is going to bring about His holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, it's not going to be a holiness movement. We're not going to try to be holy. It's that we're going to be so busy loving and caring and meeting needs that sin won't be a part of our life. When, of course, it's thrilling just to watch that our young people, for instance, decided to go to Joplin and serve rather than having a camp and play. Yeah. And they went over as a certain way, and they came back a different way. They came back changed. And all they did was serve. And a lot of them, as they go out to serve, and they said, you know what, I want to spend my whole life serving. Mm-hmm. We just talked with a girl over in Greenville. She'd been to
Rwanda.
And she said, it's life changing. Mm-hmm. You just go over, you know, and she was, it was kind of a part of the college thing and part of the church thing, but, you know, they go on these mission trips, but then they come back, and of course what she says is, I want to go back and spend my life there. I want to go back and serve. What is so neat, and I've been sharing this with you, but God is raising up these children, 10, 11, 12 years old, and now we're hearing even of 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and just going all out in boldness to serve the Lord. And so where we had a lost generation, we have a found generation. We have and the beautiful thing is, they don't care whether they live or die. We have young people that they just absolutely don't care whether they live or die. They're going to serve the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I about laughed when I was looking at it, because when I looked up the Greek word there, of demonstration, it means to show off. And God, God takes this old sinner that's been out there killing the Christians, turns him into a preacher, and he just goes and he speaks words, and things happen. Yeah, and think, yeah, God, you're just showing off a little bit, you know. But the extravagance, the transformation that takes place. And I'm sure all of us, if we look at our lives, we say, no, God, I don't think God could use me in that way. And yes, He can. Yes, He can. And God gets ready to show off. And by the way, God is going to do this. Whether we participate or not, God will get it done. And He will get it done through people. It's just you'll miss out on all the fun if you don't participate. No. Okay. Demonstrates His love. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And of course, we have to have that same love as we go out and demonstrate the love of God. Whether we're serving or speaking or whatever we're doing, we need to be demonstrators of the love of God. Now, the only way that we're going to get there is by praying in tongues. It's the only way. Because the two things we need is faith and love. Jude 20 and verse 21 says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. The more I pray in tongues, the more I'm experiencing the love of God. And the greater the love of God is released through me to others. And so I can't do it without praying in the Spirit. I can't do love. It's just not possible for me to do love. But as I'm filled with love, as I'm filled with the Spirit, then I'm filled with love. And so Jesus came full of love. And by the way, He came to give His life. You know, the next verse there, greater love had no man than this, than He laid down His life for His friends. See? But He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before man ever sinned, God already planned for Jesus to die for our sins. So we look out over a world of people, a lot of mean people out there, or a lot of evil people. And it's surprising to find out God loves all of them. You know, they don't love God, but He loves them. And a lot of them will never know until there is some kind of demonstration of the love. And of course, a lot of movies and books are written about how people are transformed. You know, just because somebody loved them, somebody paid attention to them, somebody helped them. And because one of my examples, I use it all the time, I guess, but when we lived in Kansas City, there on 98th Terrace, we had a neighbor behind us that he was just a grouch. And everything we did, he was mad at us. And so there was no way to please him. Anything you tried to do, it just made him mad. You know? And one day I was had squirrels trying to eat my garden. And so I thought, well, if I cut a couple of the trees away from the garden, the squirrels couldn't get, you know, in the tree and come down there. And he comes screaming at me, "You can't cut those trees down." I said, "They're not your trees. You know, they're my trees. I bought them with the property." And he said, "That don't matter. You can't cut them down." And anyway, that was just kind of the guy he was. Well, one day he was mowing the grass and got something caught under the lawnmower, so he decided to reach down and get it. They forgot to turn the mower on. And so it cut his fingers off. All he had a thumb and a finger left. And for Christmas, his wife and son went out and bought him a steel guitar, electric steel guitar. All of his life, he'd wanted an electric steel guitar. he was so mad. He said, of all things, now that my hand's cut off, that they, he said, that's torture. That, because I can't hold the bar. Well, Jesse's mom had given me her old Hawaiian guitar from 1924, I think it was. Well, they had a brass bar that came with that. And God said, you take that to him. And so I said, just to say, I have something that, that you can grip between your finger and your thumb and play your steel guitar. And so I went up and gave it to him. And it's actually priceless as an antique. You wouldn't want to sell it for any amount of money. It was solid brass. And God said to give it to him, so I gave it to him. He became the nicest neighbor. And just one little act. That's what we're talking about. It's just, we never know what one little demonstration. God said, Jesus said, love your enemies. And if we're just watching, normally we try to run away from our enemies or, keep them from beating up on us or whatever. But Jesus said, no, you run to them. You I'll show you what to do. And you love your enemies. Demonstrates his the greatness of his power. Ephesians 1:19-21. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So there was a demonstration of the power of God when he raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, now that we know that there were other great demonstrations. For instance, when Moses put his rod out and God parted the Red Sea. They found the chariot wheels now. They were in 80 feet of water. So if you can imagine, if you've ever tried to make a water bed with even a mattress that high, you can't hardly even pick the corner up.
Yeah.
And God pushed back water 80 foot deep, made it wide enough for 3 million people to pass through before Pharaoh's army could get down there. That's power. When they crossed the Jordan River, it was flood stage. And they were able to cross over on dry riverbed, pick up rocks out of it, and make a pile of rocks on the far side that they'd picked up in the middle of it. Okay. That's power. When he had them go around Jericho and shout and blow their trumpet, and the walls came down. Now, those walls weren't just little walls. They were big enough for homes to be built in them. And so it took great power to bring that down. But none of that compares to the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. Satan was against it. All hell was against it. All the demons were against it. All the unbelievers were against it. And yet, in spite of all of that, God raised Jesus from the dead. That power is to us who believe. That power is ours. It's in us. He demonstrates his righteousness, Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So the demonstration, you go all the way back to covenant. In order to have covenant, remember when God had set up covenant with Abraham, had him take the heifer, divide the heifer in two. Now, in those days, in order to establish covenant, they would do that, and they had a ritual they went through, and the two people went through together. Okay? In all of God's covenants, God passes through by Himself. Okay? Even on the cross, God established righteousness by Himself. The covenant is between the Father and the Son of Man and God. Okay? So there is a covenant, and he's demonstrating this, saying, yes, I can take care of sin. And by the way, God isn't upset because sin is in the world. Now, we're upset. We get really upset when we find that there's sinners out there. God isn't upset that there's sin. The reason is because He is greater than all sin. Okay? God can do away with sin in a moment. Anytime He wants. He can do away with Satan. It takes one tiny little angel to get rid of Satan. And so, we know that from the Scripture. For instance, it says in the Scripture, if a man's ways please the Lord, that He will cause even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Now, if God isn't in charge of the enemy, there's no way He can make them be at peace with us. If the enemy is of its own power. By the way, Satan has no power. I don't know whether you know that or not. Satan has been cut off from life. When God threw him out of heaven, he has no source of life. He lives off of people. He sucks it out of us. He sucks the life by living in sinners. He's sucking life. That's what creates death. Is Satan sucking the life out of the people on the earth. His job is to steal, to kill, and destroy. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I'm come, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so, yes, there are sinners out there. And God has used, throughout the Old Testament, God used the enemy. All the time that His people obeyed Him and walked in His way, He just kept destroying the enemy. But when they decided to go their own way, Scripture says He sent a hook out and got it in the jaw of the enemy and said, come in. So God uses the enemy for His own purpose. God is greater than the enemy. Once we understand that, we will never fear again. Okay? God is greater than the enemy. Our only job is to please the Lord. That's my position. Yes, I'm going to please the Lord. I'm not going to worry about the enemy. I'm not going to recalculate because of whatever the enemy is doing. Remember Brother Powell used to always say, I'm not going to spend my time putting out brush fires. You'd never, ever, ever learn all the tactics of the enemy. There are new tactics every day. But we don't have to learn all of that. All we have to learn is our shepherd's voice. Following our shepherd's voice and being obedient to him, pleasing him, and he'll take care of the enemy. And he'll grant us favor. And not only that, he will use us as witnesses to demonstrate his love, demonstrate his power in the midst of all of this garbage. That's what he means by where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we're going to see, as we'll see here in Scripture, not only will he demonstrate his righteousness, he'll demonstrate his grace. Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. I know we've talked about that a lot, but the heavenly sphere is not out there. Okay? The heavenly sphere is God activity on the earth. So we're actually living dual lives, where we're human beings on the earth, but we're also children of the living God, born from above. So we are a spirit people living in a spirit atmosphere. We are also a natural people, okay? But we're not a carnal people. We are in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus, as we learned last month, had this dual thing. He was Son of Man. He was a human being, flesh and blood. When they killed him, real blood came out. And so he was a human being, but he was the Son of God. So he was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. So in that sense, he lived a dual life on the earth. Okay? We are living a dual life on the earth. The problem is we get too caught up in the natural side of it and not enough in the spirit side, in other words, this heavenly sphere. What I'm trying to learn for myself, and it's not easy, is to spend time in the Lord's presence until that whole atmosphere opens up to me. No matter how long it takes, if I have to go out and just sit on the porch and be still and know that I am God, you know, and sometimes I'll be there and I'll start praying in tongues, and invariably it begins to open up to me, and then as it opens up, then we begin to communicate back and forth, and he begins to share things with me and share scriptures with me, and then I talk to him, and usually repeating whatever he tells me, I repeat it back to him. You know, I'm trying to get it settled in my soul. You know, and then of course at some point you have to run and get your pencil and paper and Bible and, you know, do your homework. Homework's hard. It takes me hours. What he can show me in 5 seconds, it takes me hours to work out on paper. I'll be glad when I get to heaven. I hope I can record it all quickly and, you know, and not have to do all the homework. Okay. In the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his grace. Oh, that we could know the grace of God. Or as we studied grace here a while back, the rich resources of God. to know what all God has made available for man. And the thing that we will find out is that man is longing for what God has. See, for whatever reason, through our witnessing training and so forth, we think everyone's going to be opposed to us. So we're going to have to go out, you know, and somehow convince them that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus has been raised from the dead. You need to be born again. What we need to do is go and demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God, the righteousness of God by our love activity. See? And they experiencing that will actually come to us wanting what we have. Okay? They'll recognize. And this seems to be what's happening. We're just having people to walk up, you know, and I want what you have, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want it. You know, I just... And how do they know? You know, I haven't said anything, but they say, there's something different. And we want what you have. I think I shared with you the time I was in Nevada, Missouri. They had me come into a home meeting and speak, and this couple brought people in that I'd never met any of them before. They had no idea what their background was or anything. And so I just basically presented the gospel to them. And just, you know, talked to them about God and the love of God and shared scriptures with them. And sent them home. And of course, it was time to go to bed. And God said, don't go to bed. And so I went back, sat down on the couch, and just sat there. Pretty soon the doorbell rang. And one of the couples came back and they said, hope we're not going to keep you up or anything, but there's just something about you. And it's different, and we want to know what it is. And I said, well, it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I just barely got started sharing with them, and the doorbell rang. A little bit later, the doorbell rang. A little bit later, the doorbell rang. Every one of them came back without talking to each other. And I ended up leading all of them into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because what was really neat, because Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and a lot of times there'll be husbands and wives, you guys know, that both the husband and wife can't always come because of children. And so the wife had stayed home to take care of the kids, and if they went out to any special meetings or anything, they took turns. And so it was his turn, so he came, and he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, he went back home and, you know, telling his wife about it. And so she gets up the next morning, and she's a little peeved at God. You know, I mean, after all, I stayed home and took care of the kids, and why should I lose out, you know, on this? And she was standing there at the sink doing dishes and just instantly started speaking in tongues, glorifying God. God said, I'll take care of it. And so, for instance, when disasters come, you won't always know what to do. But what the Lord is saying, just get yourself over there, you know, and make yourself available. And that doesn't have to be a tornado or whatever. It may just be something your neighbor needs. Something happens, but all he's asking us to do is just show up, you know. And I remember this one guy giving testimony. He was driving down the road, and he looked, and the guy had a flat tire. And of course, there's people that have flat tires. You know, he really wasn't thinking anything about it. And God said, you stop. And so he stopped, and went out there and said, so you have a flat tire. The guy said, well, that's worse than that. I have a flat tire, but my spare tire's flat. And so, of course, then the guy looks, well, he has the identical car and had the identical wheel. Huh. So he had the exact tire that the guy needed. And anyway, the guy was so impressed that he stopped, and the way the whole thing came out, they started talking to him about, you know, well, why did you stop? And he said, well, God told me. And he ended up leading the man to the Lord. Out of a tragedy came eternal life. So just all God's saying, just keep your eyes open. Whatever there is to do, you know, just be ready to do it and realize that in our own ability we can't do that. If you'll turn to page 3 there, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. It talks about the demonstration of will. Demonstration of will, Luke 5, verses 12 and 13. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he, referring to Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Of course, I put it in there as a demonstration of the will of God. Because you're always hearing people say, well, I know God can, but you know, I just don't know if it's his will. Well, if you read in the Bible, 100% of the time, Jesus said, I will. The only exception to that was the Syrophoenician woman who Jesus was testing her faith by saying, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but the little dogs eat the crumbs. And he said, by that saying, go home, your daughter's made whole. See? But what I want you to see, and you can't pick it out in English, but in the Greek it shows up real clear. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Okay? The word for can here in the Greek is dunamis. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Okay? So the leper said, I know that you have dunamis power. If you're willing, you can make me clean. What that speaks to us is we have the can. We have the can do. If we're willing, we have the can do. Okay. We have the power. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we have dunamis power. We can do if we're willing. God's willing. And we need to be willing. So don't ever hesitate by saying, oh, I don't know. All right. Of course you can't do it. That's the reason why, kind of going back to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I always tell people, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for you. You know, if you're born again, hey, you know, you have eternal life, that's all you need. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power that God gives you for others. That's our ability to help other people. See? Yeah, we do benefit because the Word of God becomes alive and faith is increased. And you know, there are many, many wonderful benefits for us. But does it make eternal life any more eternal life? No. But it does give us power to help others. Remember, let's go back to why is all this going to take place? Why is there going to be all this demonstration? So Jesus can glorify the Father. He wants the Father to be recognized upon the earth. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is going to do it. Yeah. Whether we participate or not, he's going to get it done. But the other thing is, if God is doing it, it makes it so much easier for us to cooperate with him. In other words, you don't have to pray this thing in. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to kick any doors down. It's not going to be up to you to grunt and push and pull to get this done. This is what Jesus is going to be doing. Now, to be convinced of that, we go back to John 17. Okay? John 17 is Jesus, the Son of Man, praying to the Father. I just happen to believe that that's a prayer of faith. And I happen to believe that the Father heard him. Now, if he prayed in faith and the Father heard him, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. The Word of God, as I tell people, after God has spoken a word, he can go on vacation and it'll still happen. He doesn't have to stand there, but he does watch over his word to perform it, Scripture tells us. But it doesn't matter. God could go on vacation and it would still happen. God spoke the universe into existence. He's not reaching down once a day and giving the earth a little bit more of a boost. He set it in motion and it's still in motion. And so what Jesus prayed will come to pass. You can be assured of that. And of course, we have the whole book of Revelation. We talk about demonstration. We have the entire book of Revelation, and I hope that you're still, from time to time, put your CD on, if you have Bible CD or whatever, and just do an hour and 7 minutes. You can do the entire book of Revelation. Just, you know, let them read it to you. That's all you have to do. And because we need to be aware of all of this and the demonstration that's going to take place. But the Father will be glorified through the Son. The Father glorified the Son, now the Son's going to glorify the Father.